Let us pray. And thus, dear Lord, it pleaseth thee to make this truth quite plain to me, that all the world's wealth, honor, might are naught and worthless in thy sight. Ah, dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled, within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. Amen. Merry Christmas. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. The year was 2 BC. That's 2 years before Christ, which is ironic that Christ is born 2 years before Christ. But all that means is that a monk got the dating a couple years off. The fact is that all time is measured by Jesus. We are in the year 2022 because 2022 or 2024 years ago, this baby was born. All history before Jesus, all time after Jesus, all time in this world is measured by his birth in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, Caesar Augustus could never, never have imagined this. He had every reason to think that all time would be marked by his reign. He had defeated Mark Antony in the Battle of Actium in 31 BC, and he had taken sole control over the entire Mediterranean world and beyond, over the largest kingdom the world had ever seen. The nations literally worshipped Caesar Augustus as a god, and they weren't faking it. No one had ever seen anything like this man. It was common in those days to worship men as gods, but it was always tongue-in-cheek. No one actually thought a man was a god. They just wanted to give him some great honor, and so they said it. Like when the people of Tyre call out to Herod, the voice of a god and not a man. It was just flattery, and everyone knew it. Or in the days of Daniel, when Cyrus said all had to worship him, they worshipped him not because they actually thought he was a god, but because if they didn't, they'd be thrown into a den of lions. But with Augustus, it was sincere. They meant it. They thought he was a god, and his imperial cult with temples raised to him went all over the world. It started already with his adopted father, Julius Caesar. The man did things no one had seen or heard of before, marching his army from Italy to Spain in a week, a time no one thought possible. And then he showed up in Asia, and it capitulated overnight, the time when he spoke those famous words, "Veni, vidi, vici," I came, I saw, I conquered, and he did. And at the same time, there were portents in the sky. There were eclipses. There were falling stars. Whenever he did something amazing, it seemed the heavens celebrated. And then Caesar Augustus takes over, and he brings peace. He was an earthly savior. That's one of the names that they gave him, Soter, savior. You can see it still on temple inscriptions in Athens, Augustus, savior. The age he ushered in is called the Pax Romana, that's the Roman peace. For the first time in history, there were no wars. Just think of that. There were no petty princes and chieftains rising up and pillaging the countryside. There's no mothers worrying about their sons never returning home from campaign. Fathers didn't have to worry about soldiers breaking down their doors and committing atrocities on their loved ones. What do people want in life? They want to be able to live in peace. They want to be able to raise their children in peace and provide for themselves and have enough money to live and enough maybe even to have some good times. That's what they want. And Caesar Augustus gave them their heart's desire. He gave them peace. He saved them from war. He gave them stability. He gave them wealth. And so they did worship him, and they called him a god, and they meant it. And now their god wanted their money. It's the price of worldly peace. It's never free. The armies that protect it are not cheap. So he issued a decree that the whole world should be taxed. This was his world. It was the world he ruled. It was the world to which he had brought peace. But the real God was working. The creator of heaven and earth was working. And Caesar Augustus was a tool in his almighty hand. The peace of Augustus was only what God used to give the peace of Christ, not only in that time, but eternally, in our time and in every time. The angels sang of true peace that first Christmas night, totally unknown to Caesar Augustus. A Jewish man and his virgin wife, pregnant with child, obeyed his decree and traveled down to the little Judean town of Bethlehem, and there a child was born in fulfillment of all the scriptures who would bring the peace that this world cannot give, that Augustus could not give, the goodwill of God to all men, seen in the face of a little infant, poor and in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, who is Emmanuel, God with us. And the contrast between Caesar Augustus and Jesus, the Christ, could not be greater. Caesar dwelt in a palace, and Jesus is lying in a manger in a stable. Caesar ruled by the might of his arms. Jesus came in total weakness, a helpless little baby. Caesar demanded taxes from his subjects. Jesus demanded nothing from us and everything from himself. Augustus, though a man, exalted himself and claimed divinity, claimed to be God. Jesus, God from eternity, humbled himself and claimed our human nature as his own and made himself our brother. People want an Augustus, though. They do. They prefer Augustuses, or Augusti, if you want to say it that way, to Jesus. They want wealth. They want stability. You do too, and I do. Wealth and stability are gifts from God. The wise man of Ecclesiastes says it. That means the Bible says this: every man to whom God has given riches, God has given riches and wealth, and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage, and rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. But there is, so what Augustus gave, that was a gift of God. But there is a wealth and a prosperity that Augustus could not give, no matter how he tried. Not by arms, not by laws, he could not give it. And he did try. He tried to make people better. He saw what his earthly peace had brought, because it had brought so much wealth. He saw people addicted to wealth and pleasure. He saw the birth rate plummet and the divorce rate skyrocket. He saw families broken apart. He saw sexual immorality rampant in his kingdom, destroying society in Rome. He saw what wealth does when there is no virtue to go along with it. And he made laws to stop it. And he tried to regulate marriage, and he gave incentives for having children, and he banned public displays of wealth. But no law he issued could give people peace in their homes, peace with their own consciences, and peace with one another, peace with God. He couldn't give it. There was no real peace in Augustus's peace. There was no real joy. It was a time a lot like today. Wealth abounding, people have what they think they want, trusting or despairing in politicians and rulers to secure it all for them. And yet their stuff doesn't satisfy, and it certainly doesn't give them the peace that they need. The peace of Augustus failed in the end. Augustus died, like every other man. The psalmist says, "I said, you are gods, but you will die like men and fall like the princes of men." The peace we need cannot come by force of arms or mandates of laws. So don't look for this peace in elections. Don't look for it in economic conditions. Don't put your trust in princes or in the wealth of this world. You need the peace that this world cannot give. Look at the peace that the angels sing. It is found in that poor child lying in a manger in Bethlehem. He is Christ the Lord. And he comes not to force you or to tax you or to give you laws and rules to impose some peace on you. He comes to be your peace, an everlasting peace. Look at him. He is a poor baby. The Almighty God, your Creator, who is justly angered at your sins, from whom you deserve punishment, where is he? He lies, a poor baby, in a dirty manger. What kind of love is this? What unexpected joy is this? Can you possibly doubt that God loves you when you see him, the Almighty, a poor baby for you? Can you think he means you any harm when he has joined you in your misery? Can you imagine he is angry with you, that he wants to punish you when he comes to be your brother? What sin has kept him locked in heaven? What evil thing that stains your conscience has turned his face from you? What dysfunction or embarrassment in your family has made him ashamed of you? Look, he isn't angry. He isn't far away, and he isn't unconcerned. He is born a baby. Every promise of forgiveness that God ever spoke, every pledge of peace, every word of goodwill, you see fulfilled here as the virgin conceives and bears a son. God is now with us. God loves us. All our enemies that rob us of peace, God now has come to destroy. Listen to the angels. You have God's goodwill. That means he wants all good for you. He wants to remove the fear of death from you. He wants to restore the ruined relationships in your life. He wants to give you peace with him and peace with your Father, knowing that he has removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. The sign to you, as it was to the shepherds, the sign to you is a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The sign to you is God in human flesh, in all humility. He has come for you. He has come to bear your misery. He has come to share in all of your woes. He has come to face your death and to conquer it. He has come to bear your sins and remove them from you. He loves you, and there is no denying it. It shines in the face of that little child. And the angels sing joy. There is greater joy in that dirty stable than in the palaces of Caesar. There is greater joy in those cold sheep fields than in all the warmth of king's halls. What can poverty, what can persecution, what can any lack of earthly peace do to dampen the joy the angels sing? God has become a man. Heaven itself is open. Heaven sings for us in joy and wonder that God loves us so much. There is greater joy in your home. There's greater treasure, there's greater wealth, no matter what else you have going on in your life, no matter the mistakes that you made this year, the sin that you committed, the tragedies that have struck, the state of this union. When you know and you confess that to you is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And angels still wonder at it. And heaven is still open, and God is still with us, and God is still for us, and he still comes to you, humble. And yet all-powerful to save, with the same flesh and blood that once was laid in that manger and then was offered on the cross and now comes to you with peace only the God-man can give. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinner reconciled. The year is now 2022. Another year marked by the birth of God in the flesh. Another year almost past. Caesar Augustus and his peace are relegated to the dustbin of history. The only time you ever hear his name anymore is on Christmas Eve, because he happened to be the emperor God used to give a decree so that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But Jesus, you still hear, and Jesus still reigns. That's what God thinks of all the riches and power of this world. It's all nothing in his sight. Jesus is everything. The treasure your father wants you to have is his son. And he gives him to you. He gave him to you on Christmas. He gives him to you now this Christmas. And his rule continues forever. It has outlasted all others, and it will last for eternity. His name still rings out. His peace still brings joy to all who adore that little baby of Bethlehem, their Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Amen.